Our Old Testament reading this morning is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you, weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Our New Testament reading this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. The words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A young man named Joe bought a horse from a farmer for $250. And the farmer agreed to deliver the horse within the next few days. Well, a couple of days later, the farmer drove up to Joe's farm and said, "I'm sorry, son, I have some really bad news. The horse died." And Joe replied, "Well, then give me my money back." And the farmer said, "Well, I can't do that. I've spent it already." And Joe said, "Well, okay then, just bring me the dead horse." And the farmer asked, "What are you going to do with it?" And Joe said, "I'm going to raffle him off." And the farmer said, "You can't raffle a dead horse." Joe said, "Sure I can. Watch me. Just don't tell anybody that he's dead." So a month later, the farmer met up with Joe and asked, "Hey, what happened with that dead horse?" And Joe said, "Well, I raffled him off. I sold 500 tickets at $5 apiece and made a profit of $2,495. And the farmer said, "Well, didn't anyone complain?" And Joe said, "Well, yeah, just the guy that won. So I gave him his $5 back." So, Ed, maybe we need to remember that as a fundraiser. Who knows? We sometimes refer to an ordinary guy who tends to blend in with the crowd and who doesn't put on any airs or graces as a regular Joe. You know, a guy who is seemingly unremarkable, an everyman who fits into the rhythm of everyday life. But not all Joes are regular Joes. Joe DiMaggio was not an average ball player. And his 56th game winning streak, I believe, still stands as one of baseball's records. He was even immortalized in a song by Simon and Garfunkel. Other Joes include Joe Crocker, Joe Biden, Joe Montana, Joe Namath, Joe Pesci, on and on. None of them were really regular Joes, but Joes who transcended averageness and occupied space in the stratosphere. When we talk about a regular Joe, we're not referring to those guys. Instead, the image in our heads is someone who clocks in and out of work each morning, makes small talk by chatting about the weather, swears that NFL refs are lousy, likes an occasional beer, drives a dependable car that's not flashy, but it gets him where he's going. His name doesn't make headlines, and his posts aren't going viral, but he's steady, reliable, and quietly faithful to his responsibilities. He's the neighbor who waves from his driveway, the dad in the bleachers cheering on his kid's little league team, the guy who mows his lawn on Saturday and nods politely at the mailman. A regular Joe doesn't seek the spotlight, he just gets the job done. And in his ordinariness, there is something beautifully steady, an unspoken faithfulness that often goes unnoticed. Well, our text today from Matthew is about a regular Joe, who isn't really such a regular Joe after all. Joseph is a regular man, a carpenter by trade, engaged to a young woman named Mary. But he is now known throughout the world as Saint Joseph. And he's not the only Joe in the Bible. You know, there's Joseph, the son of Jacob, a dreamer, thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, and later raised to prominence in Egypt, who managed to save not only his family, but a nation. And then there's Joseph of Arimathea, who with his friend Nicodemus boldly stepped forward when others had fled to claim the body of Jesus and give it a dignified funeral. But Joseph of Nazareth is perhaps the most overlooked Joe of them all. He is the earthly father of Jesus. And we hear so little about him. And he never speaks in Scripture, at least. There are no words that are attributed to him. And so he seems like just another regular Joe, a quiet figure standing beside the radiant light of Mary and the splendor of the Christ child. We tend to forget this Joseph was far from ordinary. He was handpicked by God to be the protector and provider for the Savior of the world. Though his voice is silent, at least in the Gospels, his actions speak volumes about courage, obedience, and faithfulness. Joseph was a good man in a painful and impossible situation. The woman to whom he is engaged is pregnant, and it's not his baby. I mean, he had to have been hurt, crushed, heartbroken, confused. But he chooses compassion over punishment, mercy over pride. He decides that he will divorce her quietly, protecting her dignity, even in his disappointment. But oh my goodness, there it goes again. God had other plans. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph didn't argue. Joseph didn't delay. He didn't wake up and say, "Wow, that was some crazy dream." He believed, and he obeyed. He changed his whole life because of what God said. I mean, think about it. Joseph is the unsung hero of the incarnation. Joseph stays. He could have just left. He takes Mary as his wife instead of having her stoned to death. He embraces the shame and the whispers from others. He raises a son who is not biologically his. And he teaches him his trade of carpentry. And he protects his family when Herod threatens. He moves his household to Egypt in obedience to another dream. In a culture where honor, bloodlines, and male pride was everything, Joseph laid it all down to do the will of God. That is faith. That is discipleship. Joseph slips silently into the background, and as he does, his faith speaks louder than words ever could. Joseph is a role model, not because of grand speeches or dramatic miracles, but because of his quick, steady obedience. He teaches us what real faith looks like, and his example is a powerful one in its simplicity. I mean, how often are we asked to step out in faith when things don't make sense? When the path isn't clear, the diagnosis is grim, the job is lost, or the relationship is strained. Real faith obeys, even when the pieces don't fit together. The world says it's foolish, and the heart struggles to understand. Joseph's faith was not passive, it was obedient action. He married Mary and protected her and raised Jesus as his own. He didn't need all the answers to follow God's leading. He chose incredible love and mercy over judgment. And that kind of mercy is very rare today. In a TikTok world that is so quick to judge and very slow to forgive, Joseph stands out as a model of grace. How many of us, when wronged, instinctively seek retribution or we rush to judgment? And Joseph reminds us that faith chooses mercy, even when judgment seems justified. His quiet compassion reflects the heart of God, who delights in mercy. Our culture often equates strength with dominance, with loud voices, firm stances, and unyielding power. The rise of mean men has not gone unnoticed. On the world stage, mean men dominate leadership roles, often at the cost of democratic values and institutions. The ugliness also invades our domiciles, as victims of domestic abuse can testify. But Joseph models a different kind of strength, the strength to be gentle. He protects Mary. He journeys with her to Bethlehem, and he cares for the Christ child with tenderness. And later he would uproot his family and flee to Egypt to keep them safe, trusting God every step of the journey. True strength is not always loud. Sometimes it is whispered in quiet acts of service. Joseph shows us what it is to be strong in faith, to be gentle in spirit. It is the father who stays up late to soothe the crying child, the friend who listens when others dismiss, and the believer who prays in silence for the good of another. Joseph is often seen in the background of the Christmas story, literally and figuratively. He is there, steady and faithful. But the spotlight falls on Mary and the Christ child. Joseph's role is essential, but he never seeks attention. He's not concerned about who gets the credit. He's content to let God's plan unfold, even if it means fading into the periphery. Joseph's faith is a reminder that the truest measure of devotion is not how much attention we receive, but how much glory we reflect to God. Faith doesn't always need a stage. Sometimes its greatest work is done behind the scenes. In a culture of shouting, shoving, and arguing, Joseph whispers. In a society that celebrates the spotlight, Joseph stands in the shadows. But in doing so, he shines with a different kind of glory, the glory of faithful obedience. And it's no wonder that in addition to being the patron saint of the quietly faithful, he is also known as the patron saint of fathers, workers, refugees, and those who quietly serve behind the scenes. His life reminds us that faithful obedience is its own kind of greatness. As we approach Christmas Day, may we remember not just the manger, the star, the shepherds, the angels, but also the man who quietly stood beside Mary, held the child in his arms, and said with his life, "Yes, Lord." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.